All right. Looks like someone's ready to tackle change management. You sent us a ton of stuff on this, so we're diving in to help you, well, not just survive it, but really kind of, you know, make it work for you.
Yeah, change can feel like you're caught in a current sometimes.
Absolutely, especially these days. We're going to be looking at a really practical article by David Grossman. It's called A Five-Step Change Management Plan to Lead Your Organization Forward. And it is packed with useful stuff, but we're going to do more than just summarize it. We want to see how it connects to what you're doing, the changes you're facing.
Yeah, because it's one thing to know the steps, but another to actually use them, right?
Totally. And this article, right off the bat, talks about something I think we've all felt that always on, feeling of constant change. They even call it change fatigue, which, have you ever felt that? Like, ooh, not another new project.
I think, honestly, most people have. And it's not just a feeling. Studies actually show this constant change can really hurt productivity, even lead to burnout.
So it's not us just being grumpy then. It really has consequences. And they cite this research from Bain & Company saying a crazy 88% of business transformations, they don't meet their goals.
That's a pretty scary number. Shows you got to do more than just announce a change and hope for the best.
So what's the solution to all this change chaos then? The article says it's solid change management, and they give five main reasons why it's so important.
Let's get into those.
First one, it's that huge amount of change we were just talking about, right? It leads to employees being totally overloaded, which just breeds resistance.
Like juggling too many things. Something's got to drop eventually.
And that takes us right to the second reason, all those failed change initiatives. They say it's often bad planning and communication that are the culprits.
Can't just spring change on people and expect instant adaptation.
No, you can't. And this is where things get really interesting. Reason number three is that need to provide context, to give meaning to it all. It's about linking these changes to the bigger picture, showing folks why it matters, not just what's changing.
Like painting a picture of the future and showing everyone how they fit in.
Exactly. So that brings us to number four, engaging people throughout the whole process, not just when it launches. Have you seen where this goes wrong?
Yeah.
Like, a company announces a change and everyone's totally blindsided?
Oh, definitely. Once worked with a company, they decided to restructure their sales department, but they didn't talk to the salespeople at all beforehand. They just dropped the news, expected everyone to roll with it, morale tanked, and their best people started looking for new jobs. No surprise.
That's a classic example of how not to do it. It almost creates this distrust, makes people resist even harder, you know?
For sure. When it feels like decisions are being made about you, not with you, that's a recipe for disaster.
Totally. So you've got to get folks on board. And that's where reason number five comes in. Clear objectives and a roadmap. And you communicate it all clearly and often.
Yeah, it's about making things transparent, giving direction so everyone understands where they're going and how to get there.
And that's where this five-step plan comes in. Gives you a framework for doing that. The first step is understand where your people are today. Sounds simple. But lots of companies miss this part.
It's all about understanding the no, feel, do for each group of employees. Like, what do they actually know about the change? How do they feel about it? What actions do they need to take to adapt?
So instead of just blasting out one email to everyone, you really tailor your approach.
Exactly. Let's say you're bringing in a new software system. Your IT team, their no is going to be all technical specs, coding, that stuff. But for the sales team, their no is, how is this going to help them close deals faster, give better customer service? Their feel might be anxiety about learning new stuff while IT is excited about the tech.
That's a perfect example. It's meeting people where they are, not where we think they are.
And it takes work. Got to gather data, do surveys, focus groups, really listen to what's said and even what's not said.
Like detective work, uncovering those hidden worries that could bubble up later.
Right, because if you don't address those underlying issues, they'll come back to bite you.
So step one is knowing your audience. Step two is where we craft the why, develop the story for this change.
This is where you build that compelling narrative that makes sense of it all. What problem are we solving? What opportunities will open up? How does this benefit the company? And really importantly, how does it benefit the employees themselves?
So it's about everyone winning,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And you mentioned that employee benefit piece. Why is that so crucial?
Because at the end of the day, people are driven by what's good for them. They want to know, what's in it for me?
Mm.
If you can show how this change makes their jobs easier, more rewarding, even more secure, you're way more likely to get them on board.
So you can't just say it's good for the company. You got to show how it's good for them personally.
Exactly. And that takes really understanding your audience. What are their values, aspirations? What are their pain points? Once you get that, you can tailor the narrative to connect with them emotionally.
So tapping into that emotional core. Mm-hmm. And the article talks about connecting folks to something bigger than themselves.
Totally. People want to feel part of something meaningful, like their work matters. If you can link the change to a bigger purpose, whether it's helping customers, making a positive impact, even just building a stronger company, you tap into a powerful motivator.
Instead of just listing features, you're telling a story they connect with. Have you seen examples where companies did this really well?
Oh, for sure. This company I worked with, they were doing a big sustainability initiative, wanted to lessen their environmental impact, be more responsible. But instead of just sending out a memo about recycling, they built this whole narrative around protecting the planet for future generations.
Okay, so they went beyond just what they were doing,
mm-hmm.
emphasized the why, and did it work?
Absolutely. They even got employees brainstorming and putting new practices into place, which gave them ownership. They felt pride. It wasn't just a top-down order. It became a shared mission everyone could get behind.
That's awesome. Shows how a strong narrative can take something potentially boring, even controversial, and make it something exciting to be part of.
For sure. But gotta remember, that great narrative is just one piece. You also gotta communicate it right.
And that takes us to step three in the plan, which is all about creating a roadmap.
Think of it like your GPS for change.
Okay, I like that. It's about creating that clear visual guide for the journey, showing the key milestones, the phases, what the outcomes will be.
It's like planning a road trip. You wouldn't just hop in the car and start driving without knowing where you're going or how to get there, right?
And definitely not. I need a map. I'm a planner.
Yeah.
So how detailed does this roadmap need to be?
It doesn't have to be super complicated, especially at first. More about giving a high-level view of the journey, highlighting the key stops, like what are the main phases of the change? What should come out of each phase? And maybe most important, what do employees need to do at each stage?
I love how you bring it back to the employee perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to get lost in the big picture and forget that in the end, change is about people.
Exactly. And that's why you got to make the roadmap as clear and easy to get as possible. Use visuals, infographics, even videos to explain it in a way everyone understands. And directly answer that question, what does this mean for me?
So showing people where they fit in the plan and how their role might be changing.
Precisely. And don't be afraid to tweak the roadmap as you go. Change is rarely a straight line. Things will shift, adjust, and that's fine.
So it's more like a living document that changes as things unfold.
Right. The key is to be open about those changes and communicate them clearly to everyone involved.
Which leads us to step four. Communicate all along the way. This is where so many companies drop the ball. They'll have this big launch event or make a big announcement, but then the communication just stops. Leaves employees feeling lost and confused.
Like sending someone on a trip with no map or compass. They might know the destination, but have no clue how to get there.
So how do we avoid that communication breakdown? How do we make sure people feel informed and engaged throughout the whole thing?
It's about creating this surround sound communication approach. Use different channels to reach people where they are. Think town halls, team meetings, emails, newsletters, even those casual chats in the break room.
So meeting people where they are, not relying on one generic message for everyone.
Exactly. And it's not just how often you communicate, it's also the content. Make sure it's clear, concise, easy to understand. Avoid jargon and technical language. And most importantly, address the YIMM, the what's in it for me.
It all comes back to that personal connection, right?
Absolutely. People are way more likely to engage with info that they see as relevant and valuable to them. So always be thinking, how can I frame this so it resonates with my audience?
We've got to be strategic and thoughtful about how we communicate.
Yeah.
And keep the conversation going the whole time, not just at the beginning.
Exactly. It's all about building trust and transparency, which are crucial for a smooth and successful transition.
And that brings us to the final step in this change management plan. Measure progress. Gather feedback, and adapt as you go. So this is where we check in and see how things are going.
Right? Precisely. Change is rarely a perfect straight line. Things will shift and adjust along the way. So you got to have a way to get feedback, to measure your progress, see any roadblocks, and make changes as needed.
So how do we actually measure progress in a meaningful way? What are some key things to watch for?
It depends on the specific change you're making, but there are some general indicators. Are you meeting your deadlines? Staying on budget? Are employees using the new processes or technology like they should be?
And how are people feeling about the change?
Yeah.
Are they engaged and supportive? Or are they pushing back and disengaged?
Exactly. You need both the numbers and the qualitative data to get a full picture of how the change is affecting the organization and its people.
So we have our dashboards and metrics, but we also need to be listening to what people are actually saying. How do we go about getting that qualitative feedback?
There are a lot of good methods. You can do surveys, focus groups, even just encourage open and honest conversations with your team.
It's about creating a culture where feedback is valued and encouraged.
Exactly. And don't forget to act on that feedback. If you keep hearing the same concerns or challenges, be ready to adjust your approach.
So it's not about sticking to the plan no matter what, but being flexible and responding to what you're learning along the way.
Exactly. Change management isn't one size fits all. You got to be agile, adaptable to respond to the inevitable twists and turns.
Okay, so we've walked through the five steps of the change management plan, but how do we connect all of this to your specific situation?
That's the million-dollar question, and it's something we'll dig into more in the next part of our deep dive. But before we move on, I'm curious, what parts of this five-step plan really stand out to you?
For me, it's that focus on understanding where your people are at. You know, it's easy to get lost in the mechanics of change and forget about the human side of it.
Yeah, the human side is absolutely key. I mean, organizations, they're made up of individuals, right? Each with their own perspectives, anxieties, all that.
Right. And the article talks about creating that strong why, the narrative that kind of ties it all together for everyone. I'm curious, from what you've seen, what are some common traps companies fall into when they're trying to communicate change?
Oh, one of the biggest is thinking one big announcement is enough. You know, okay, we told everyone we're good, but communicating change, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
So it's about consistently giving out information in different ways through different channels.
Exactly. And another mistake is not tailoring the message to different groups. What works for your execs might not work for the folks on the front lines.
Makes sense. Goes back to that no feel do framework we were talking about.
Right on. You got to understand what each group needs to know, how they might feel about it, and what they actually need to do to adapt.
So let's get practical. From the stuff you sent us, it seems like you're dealing with, well, specific challenge related to the listener's material. How can these five steps help you with this?
Well, first think about your audience. Who are the key people affected by this change? What do they know now? What might they be worried about?
And thinking about that narrative piece, what's the story that's going to get everyone on board? What's the why that'll really resonate with them?
Yeah, exactly. And once you have that story, how can you build a clear roadmap that lays out big milestones, the phases of the change?
And of course, don't forget the communication part. How are you going to keep everyone in the loop and engaged through the whole thing? What channels will you use? How often will you communicate?
All super important questions. And as you move through it, remember to get feedback, be willing to adapt. Change rarely goes exactly as planned.
Right. It's about being flexible, rolling with the punches. And the article mentions that change is constant, right? So how do you create a culture that doesn't just put up with change, but actually welcomes it?
That's a great question. And it's something a lot of organizations struggle with. It needs a real mindset shift, moving away from seeing change as a disruption and seeing it as a chance to grow, to innovate.
So how do you actually create that kind of culture? Sounds pretty tough.
It is, but it's doable. One key thing is to encourage a growth mindset throughout the organization. That means promoting curiosity, trying new things, and being okay with learning from mistakes.
So creating a space where people can try stuff, knowing it's okay to fail sometimes, as long as you learn from it.
Exactly. And it's really important to celebrate and reward those who embrace change, who drive innovation.
So make it clear that being a change agent is a good thing, a valuable thing for the company.
Absolutely. Recognize those who are willing to challenge the status quo, come up with creative solutions, push the boundaries.
But it's not just about celebrating the big wins, right? Yeah. It's also about acknowledging the small steps forward along the way.
For sure. Celebrating those small wins helps keep morale up, keeps the momentum going. It reinforces that change is a process, a journey, not just a destination.
It's about creating that sense of progress and accomplishment. The article doesn't really talk about this, but what about those who resist change? How do you handle that?
Resistance, it's natural. It's a human response to change. It's important to remember that people often resist because they feel like they've lost control, they fear the unknown, or they're worried how it will affect them personally.
So you got to address those fears and worries head on. not just ignore them.
Exactly. Once you've heard their concerns, give them clear and honest info about the change. Explain why it's happening, how it will benefit them, and what support they have to help them adapt.
And be patient, right?
Yeah.
Not everyone's going to jump on board immediately.
Absolutely. Change takes time. Don't expect everyone to embrace it overnight. Keep communicating, providing support, and celebrating successes along the way. And, you know, sometimes a bit of resistance can actually be a good thing.
Really? How so?
Well, it can make you refine your approach, think more critically about your plan, and make sure you're really meeting everyone's needs.
So resistance can actually lead to a better result in the end.
It definitely can. It all depends on how you handle it.
This is all great advice, but it makes me think. The article focuses on change in organizations, but change is always happening in our personal lives too, right? We're always growing, adapting to new things. So how can we use these change management ideas for our own personal growth?
That's a fantastic question and something I think about a lot. I really believe a lot of what we've talked about today can be applied to our own personal journeys.
So how do we become better change managers in our own lives?
Well, first off, we can start by embracing that growth mindset. It means being open to new experiences, being willing to get out of our comfort zones, and seeing challenges as chances to learn and grow.
It's about that always be learning attitude.
Exactly. And we can also use that idea of creating a roadmap, but for our personal goals this time. What do you want to achieve? What steps do you need to take to get there? What kind of support do you need along the way?
So it's like having your own personal vision and breaking down into steps you can actually take.
Exactly. And just like with organizational change, communication is key in personal growth too.
So who are we communicating with in this case?
Ourselves. And also the people who support us, our friends, family, mentors, coaches.
So it's about being honest with ourselves and also looking for guidance from people we trust.
Exactly. And just like with change in organizations, we need to be willing to check our progress, get feedback, and adapt as we go.
Life throws curveballs, right? We've got to be flexible, able to adapt to those unexpected detours.
Absolutely. And celebrating those small wins along the way is super important for keeping up the momentum and motivation.
Okay, so we've got our personal growth mindset, our roadmap, our communication strategy, our support system. What's next?
Well, I think the most important thing is to remember that change is a journey, not a destination. There will be good times and bad times, challenges and wins. But if we embrace the process, stay open-minded, and be willing to learn, we can come out of those changes stronger, wiser, and more resilient.
That's a great point. It's not about avoiding change, but learning how to ride the wave and use it to your advantage.
Exactly. And who knows what amazing things are waiting for us on the other side of those changes.
This has been such a great deep dive into change management. I feel like we've covered so much, from the practical how-tos to the bigger ideas about change itself. But before we wrap up, I have one last question.
I'm listening.
You talked about how important it is to have a growth mindset, both in organizations and personally. But how do you actually develop that mindset? It sounds great in theory, but what are some concrete things we can do to be more open to change and embrace the unknown? It's like, you know, building a muscle almost. You got to work it out to get results.
Yeah, I like that. Like any muscle, it takes time and effort. One really good way to build that growth mindset is to start by questioning what you believe, what you assume, you know?
So like question those deep-seated thoughts that might be holding us back.
Exactly. Like let's say you avoid new things because you're scared of failing. Ask yourself, what's the worst that can happen? And even if it doesn't go well, how can you learn from it, you know? Grow from that experience.
So you're saying to see failure as a chance to learn, not just a setback. Makes sense.
Right. Another powerful thing is to surround yourself with people who already have that growth mindset.
So find those folks who are always curious, always learning, always pushing their own boundaries. Their energy is infectious, right?
For sure. Their enthusiasm, their willingness to take on challenges, it can really inspire you to do the same. And don't be afraid to ask them for advice, for support.
It's amazing how much you can learn from people who've already been there, done that.
It's so valuable. And speaking of learning, actively seeking out new knowledge and skills is another big part of developing a growth mindset.
So read books, take courses, go to workshops, even just talk to people who are experts in things you're interested in.
Exactly. The more you expose yourself to new ideas, new perspectives, the more flexible and adaptable you'll become.
And that helps break down those limitations we put on ourselves about what we can achieve.
That's it. And one last thing, don't forget to celebrate your progress.
Even those little wins, right? They make a difference.
Absolutely. acknowledging what you've accomplished, even the small things, it really reinforces that growth mindset, keeps you motivated to keep learning and evolving.
Yeah, like giving yourself a little pat on the back saying, hey, I'm doing this, I'm moving forward.
Exactly. And those small wins, they can eventually add up to some pretty big changes.
This has been such an insightful look at change management. We've gone beyond just the steps, talked about the mindset you need to make change work.
Totally agree. We've covered so much, from understanding why change is happening to creating a roadmap and communicating effectively.
And we've talked about the power of a growth mindset, both for organizations and for ourselves. For me, the big takeaway is change isn't something to be afraid of. It's a chance to learn, to grow, to make things better.
I couldn't have said it better. Change is a constant. It's always happening all around us. The question isn't if we'll experience change, but how we'll deal with it.
Will we resist it or use it to grow and innovate?
I hope you choose to embrace it.
I hope so too. And with that, we want to thank you for joining us on this deep dive into change management. We hope you found it useful and maybe even inspiring.
It's been great exploring this with you.
And remember, change is a journey. Embrace the challenges, celebrate the wins, and never stop learning and growing. Until next time, keep diving deep and exploring the world with curiosity and an open mind.